Blitzfreeze by Sven Hassel. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Chapter 1. Once the Germans have accepted the Bolshevik doctrines, I will move my headquarters from Moscow to Berlin, because in the coming world revolution, the Germans will make much better cadre than the Russians. Lenin to the Turkish ambassador, Ali Fuad Pasha, on 14th of January, 1921. In the 1930s, SS Obergruppenführer Heydrich laid a crafty plan designed to break the back of the Red Army. Using Gestapo agents within the GPU, he filtered information through to Stalin, naming traitors in the highest posts in Russian defense. Stalin's six suspicions were aroused, and the results far exceeded Heydrich's greatest expectations. Stalin and Police Minister Beria sent a wave of terror rolling across the giant Soviet state. Some of the most talented military leaders of the times were executed. Marshals Tushachevsky, Blucher, and Legorov, army commanders Uberovich and Yakir, and the chiefs of the Red Fleet, Admirals Orlon and Viktorov. With them went the commanders of every military district and 98% of the corps and divisional commanders. Almost every regimental and battalion commander was removed from his post and dispatched to a forced labor camp as an enemy of the people. SS Obergruppenführer Heydrich rubbed his hands in satisfaction. Stalin himself had eliminated the brains of the Russian army and replaced them with useless sycophants and hypocrites, capable at most of leading a machine gun section. In the course of one night, several thousand incompetent captains and majors were promoted to general rank. Some had not even attended an officer's school, and none had ever seen Frun's Academy. Countless frontier incidents took place before June 1941. German planes penetrated deeply into Russia on overt reconnaissance, but Stalin had forbidden that they be shot at. The slightest provocation on the part of the Russian frontier regiments was punished by death. Quite simply, Stalin forbade the Russian soldier to defend himself. "Why?" asks Major General Grigorenko. "Yes, why?" Most of those who could have answered this question were executed in the first 2 months of the war. Stalin and Beria were busy. Busy silencing witnesses to the greatest blunder in history. "Or was it treason?" asks Pyotr Grigorenko. The girl sergeant.
"What's wrong with you?" the lieutenant asks.
"I can't do it," says the girl sergeant.
"You won't."
"I can't tell you."
"Tell me why you won't," the lieutenant begs softly. He smooths her hair and her forage cap falls to the ground.
"You're unreasonable. A girl can't do it when she's feeling down in the mouth."
"That's a lot of nonsense. Even when you're wounded, you can do it. I once did it with both legs in plaster."
"When did you have both legs in plaster?"
"When I was serving with the Soviet Laplanders. The time the Finns attacked us."
"Were you there? I didn't know you'd been garrisoned in Leningrad." "Stop it, old leg, I can't, I tell you."
"You mean you won't? You don't like doing it. I'm a holder of the Order of the Red Banner, you know."
"Do you think a girl flops into bed with a man just because he's got an Order of the Red Banner? Where did you win it, anyway?"
"Suam Salami."
"Where's that?" "Out east. There's always war out there."
"No. Finland. It's where we crush the Finnish fascists and imperialists."
"Do you mean the big tank battle?"
"Yes. They destroyed the division. But then the commander-in-chief sent in the whole army corps. We drove deep into their flanks and got six decorations for bravery."
"And you got one of them?"
"Yes."
He tries to slip his hand up under her potato brown army skirt. She closes her legs. They roll about in the tall maze.
"You mustn't," she whispers hoarsely. "I tell you I can't. I'm a soldier like you. Oh, that filthy perversity, I'll have to wait till we've crushed the occupation force."
"Oh, I understand you thoroughly,"
growls the lieutenant bitterly.
"Hell, how I understand you. I understand you night and day. Every hour, morning and evening, especially evenings when I sit alone in that..."